A hallmark of a healthy creative culture is that its people feel free to share ideas, opinions, and criticism. Lack of candor, if unchecked, ultimately leads to dysfunctional environments. Ed Catmull, President, Pixar.
It's time to go back. That's right, Leaders and Legacies has an all-new episode just for you and your ears. Those wonderful listening ears. Yes.
This is going to be the very special finale to the very special episodes with Seth. He's completed his wood badge ticket, and we've completed this adventure. Stay tuned after the episode for details on our Coyote and Crow sample episode, as well as upcoming episodes, including those with Seth getting his wood badge beads.
So the Identify spell picks up the filigree, and it is an ancient elven locking spell that is tied back to the mechanical lock of the door. And the moment the lock is done, the vines weave into the building structure around it. In your experience, you've probably only seen this once or twice before. It is a very ancient form of elven magic that isn't used much anymore. This is a bookworm who just kind of wanted to do something really pretty and fancy. But the basic gist of it is, if you unlock the door, the filigree untangles itself and lets the door swing open.
I cast knock.
As you cast that, you watch as the vines all shrivel back into the center point of the door to a central rune, and it just kind of absorbs the vines in, and you hear a subtle as the locking mechanism flips over.
Well done.
You're welcome.
All right. Who's going in?
That would be Fergus.
Fergus!
Now, Seth, are there, I guess, gaps? Is the word I'm looking for.
In the door?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could peek through the keyhole.
I'm going to go through the keyhole. I'm going to go into gaseous form and just go through it and explore the room.
Okay. So as you enter the room, there is kneeling in the center. The room is a spacious office residence. There is a large, finely carved wooden desk in the middle. There are library shelves all the way wrapping the entire office. This office spans the entire diameter of the tower. Don't blank on the word. The four-poster bed on the far side, wrapped in silks and everything. You can see a closet full of robes that are very intricately wrought and done in gold and silver threads and blue silks. Kneeling at the front of the desk, you see a warrior dressed in half plate. There is a large two-handed sword on his back. Seems to be breathing slowly, but
like
more
CPAP
like
breathing
in quiet
slowly?
In like quiet meditation. He's in one of those trance sleeps. Not.
I'm just trying to help everybody out if they need help. So I assume he can't see me in my gaseous form.
He does not see you in his gaseous form. I just want to check one more thing before. All right, so what you also see are two humans moving through the bookshelves. They seem to be like reorganizing the books.
Do I see anything that looks like what we're looking for?
In the center of the desk, you see it's like sunken into the desk, but there is a orange-ish crystal, which is a perfect sphere that would be about the size of what they described you were looking for. You would actually have to get out and pick it up to examine it to make sure it really was what you wanted.
So the guy is meditating with his back to me?
Yes.
All right, and the people in the shelves, can I do like some sort of perception or insight?
Yeah, you can give me a perception check. See how or insight check, whichever you're better at, to see how attentive they are.
I think I'm better at insight. 15, yes, there we go.
Okay. They are apprentices. They are deep focus on what they are doing. They know if they do not have these books in the proper order, sequenced the way the magister wants, they are hosed.
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of float over towards the desk, make sure my body's clear of everything, and let go of my concentration and pick up the object.
The moment you pick it and pull it out of the desk, there is a ringing, like a chime bell that goes off. You can hear it kind of echo around the room immediately.
Do we know the source of that sound?
You can hear it. It's coming from the other side of the door for you guys. Claw would recognize it as an alarm spell on the desk itself.
Now that I have it, does it look like what I need?
Yes, it does.
I'm going to shove it in my pocket and go back into gaseous form.
Okay.
And disappear as quickly as I can.
This is why the sorcerer was not on the primary party list.
That's why I brought a sorcerer.
Yep, because now... okay, you're back in gaseous form.
Now, it's in gaseous form with me as well, correct?
Yes. So any item you possess goes into gaseous form as well.
The desk is what's ringing, though, right?
Correct.
So I don't need to worry about the ringing following me.
Correct. The desk is what was alarmed, not the orb. So as you move your way around, the Dragonborn leaps to its feet and draws out its two-handed sword and is looking around, trying to figure out what's going on. All right, somebody give me a d20. No bonus, just a straight d20.
18.
All right, so tell me if I'm playing this wrong, because I need a DM consult here. All right, Dragonborn wakes up from his hibernation, notices what he was told to protect is gone, but does not see the thief who stole it. The only people in the room are the two apprentices that are currently filing books. With an 18, I'm going to say that he believes the apprentices tried to take the books, or tried to take the orb, and probably goes after them.
Even if he does not think that they took it, he must believe that they had seen something. They're right there.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, Dave, as you're moving out, you guys hear an incredible commotion going off. A little bit of screaming, a little bit of hollering, a little bit of squelching and squishy sounds. Dave, you are now passing back under the door and see your party getting ready to stand there and listen to the alarm go off.
As soon as I'm on the correct side of the door, I rematerialize and say, come on, I've got it. Let's get out of here.
Okay, we leave now.
Let's go.
All right, I need a stealth check from the rest of you.
17.
27.
23.
13.
Mine was a natural 20, too, also.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a 15.
10 will be enough.
He's being nice.
I am being nice because I've already been sabotaged once, or actually twice. All right. You guys make it down through the next floor. You can hear the yelling for Gregor to shut up some more because they're hearing the ruckus going above them. As you guys like clear through the cafeteria or the dining area. Getting down, you can start to hear the outside guards moving and starting to form ranks and getting ready to like protect the gate again.
Down another floor to the sewer, right? Unless we have reason to stop, we should not stop.
Are there food items that would distract us?
What?
We're going through a dining area. There's got to be food.
All right, Claw, we'll go to the cafe later.
Keep going, Claw. Come on.
Someone give him the bear claw.
Yeah. No, I mean, one of the rooms is a kitchen, yes, but there is no food out.
We need to go.
Let's go.
But
now.
There's food in the kitchen.
No, let's go. Let's go.
As you guys are entering the sewer entrance, the entire tower starts vibrating with an alarm. You can hear like pulsing sounds that seem to be coming from the walls itself. Who's the last one down the ladder?
That would probably be me. I grabbed a cookie.
As you're pulling the hatch closed, you can hear the main gates of the tower being thrown open, and it sounds like about 7 or 8 of those protectorate guards are storming in. You can hear the heavy plate going up the steps, just as you hear the dragonborn screaming at the top of his lungs to wake up the apprentices, and he's coming charging down the steps. And you guys are in the sewers.
We should probably consider dropping all of our stuff into the water.
Yes.
So that we're not wearing things we're not supposed to be wearing and go out a different... I don't know if we want to try to find our way back to the stable and come up through there.
Well, I suggest we keep some of the arms until we actually get out of the sewers.
Okay, maybe the ones you can that you can hide.
Okay.
I'm dropping my chainmail.
Okay.
There's no way I can hide that. What else have I got?
You have a longsword and a shield.
Yeah, there's no way I'm hiding a longsword or shield. So those have to go.
Okay.
You can't, I mean, a longsword is 4 feet of steel.
Yep.
Yep, I will drop my leather and rapier.
All right.
So all I have is my lute and dagger.
I'll be dropping my staff, but keep my dagger. Okay. Hidden away.
So who is leading the group out?
I'm guessing me again.
Probably, yes.
So I need 3 survival checks from you.
18.
Don't forget to give him Bardic Inspiration.
Yeah. Yep, I'm gonna give you Bardic Inspiration. Hold on. You get 1d8 too, Sanjay, so we're all 1d8.
But that would be on whatever he, right, what he needs it on.
Well, wait until you need it. No.
Natural 20.
Dang.
Still nat 20.
And an 11.
And if I can recommend you add the Bardic Inspiration to that one.
Yeah. It was a 1d what? I'm sorry.
1d8.
3.
14. All right. So, I need a marching order from you.
So, Fergus is in the front. Who's all behind right. Fergus? I'm guessing.
The bard will be right behind
well,
you.
Well, I know.
Claw, pick up the back.
All right. And we should put the Lord somewhere in the middle.
So, yes, I agree. Winston, who's been providing bardic advice, should be right behind Fergus. I'll be behind Winston. Felter behind me. Claw and then Vern holding up the back. Does that sound okay? Okay.
Put Vern in front of me.
Big guy behind the little guy. Sounds good.
Put Claw on the back. Is Claw still holding the key?
Well, I've got in here. I hold it out.
It don't drop it.
Claw, does a 13 hit you?
It does not.
Okay. So as you're standing there, this mammoth maul just seems to launch out of the water at your legs and just snap, and you manage to just barely step outside of range of the crocodile's jaws that just tried to take your leg off. I need everybody to roll initiative.
All right. Well, can I get a verbal reaction?
Oh, absolutely.
Look, crocodile.
Claw got a whopping 3.
16.
All right, 3. And then Lord Kern got a 16. Fergus, what'd you get? Oh, wait a minute. There it is. Winston, what did you get?
Sorry, forgot my name is Winston. 13. Forgot my name.
It's all good. I figured it out.
22 for Feltor.
Feltor, you are up first as you see this mammoth crocodile slipping out of the water right at Claw.
Look, crocodile.
All right, I turn and cast Firebolt.
Okay.
12.
So you watch as it glances off, but it seems to fizzle on all the water coming off of its scales.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Fergus, you're next.
Okay, so I still have my short bow, so I'm going to turn around and go ahead and use the short bow to try to get the alligator.
Okay.
11.
It manages to ricochet right off of its hide. Lord Turn.
Have I dumped all of my gear? I was under the impression we were about to leave the sewer. It seems that we're still in here.
Oh, I thought you were dumping it right when you were there and then you were going to make your way through the sewer. If you're holding onto your gear until you leave, then you're still fully geared.
Sorry, that was the idea. That's what I thought we were all doing.
Okay. Okay. Then you're still fully geared.
Okay. Apologies if I misunderstood.
No worries. I wasn't clear.
Longsword. To the head. So, let's see. Actions. Excellent. Okay, 24.
That is definitely a hit.
And, 5 damage.
Okay. It adds up. Our friendly neighborhood crocodile goes next. He's going to try and take another bite at you, Claw. That is a 19, and I need you to give me a strength save.
I'm trying to look for reactions, but a strength save, you say? 19?
Yep.
Come on, stupid crocodile! Don't you know you can't bite me? And how much damage did you do?
17. Okay, so it kind of nips you in the back of the calf, and then you slip again. So he's still trying to just get that bite in so that he can roll back into the water.
Seth, I assume that we're not single file marching order in the sewer. It sounds like there's more room.
Yeah, there's a little bit of room in this area.
I do have protection as a fighting style, so I can impose from now on, unless you disagree, disadvantage on this thing's attack roll as long as the people are within a 5-foot radius of me.
Ah, yes. So with disadvantage.
We don't necessarily need to turn that back, but just, you know, something I noticed.
Well, it's a reaction for you. It's actually a reaction for you. So you would get that on that attack too. So he still got a 22, which would have still hit. But yes, going forward, I will assume that since you're on point against him, that you are preventing him from doing that. All right. Winston, you are up.
Even though you have 80 sharp teeth, how do you floss? Victor, vicious mockery.
That's a wisdom save, right? That is...
Wisdom 15.
Oh, okay. So he saved that one. Hmm. Claw, you are up.
Is there a 20-foot radius with which I can enclose this creature without enclosing any of my friends?
Yes, because you are right up next to him, or right in front of him, with Lord Turn right next to you. So the two of you are in between him, or are in between
and everyone else. All right, I'm going to convert 3 sorcery points into a 3rd level spell. I believe that's how that works. And I'm going to cast Fireball.
What?
Wait, you're going to Fireball?
Except for the gator! Yeah, he could be a gator. I was just talking about food a minute ago, so he needs a DC 14. He'll take 26 or 13 points.
He's going to take 26. He is not a nimble critter.
Fireball.
Yep. So what he did was he positioned the fireball on the gator's or the crocodile's tail, so it came right up to you, but not hitting you.
Right, exactly. I cast it so that the middle of that radius was 20
feet.
That's
some precision targeting, sir.
What it is it's actually very messy because it's just like all over there.
Barbecued gator.
All right. Feltor, we are back to you.
Awesome. I will try Firebolt again. Okay. 25.
25 is definitely a hit.
All right.
Matter of fact, I'm a firm believer in the Pathfinder rules, which is if you go 10 over its armor class, you qualify for a crit. So go ahead and double your dice damage. 18
points
All right.
of damage.
It is not looking happy. Its tail is singed, and you can see flames kind of burning off the back of its body. It is really looking kind of ugly at this point.
Just swim away. Swim away, boys. Swim away.
Fergus, you are
Tell your friends.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and use a short bow again.
Okay.
19.
19 is a hit. And if you have sneak attack damage, you may add it because you have 2 other allies within 5 feet of it.
Okay, so it's 15 with a sneak attack. And another 11.
Okay, this thing is like...
Nice.
This thing is really not looking good. So he is actually, now that he sees you standing right there, Lord Turn, he is going to take a snap at you and then lash his tail out at Claw. Does a 25 hit?
Okay. Disadvantage.
Well, disadvantage saved you the crit. So you're still stuck with the 25, though. So he hits you for 22 points of damage as he, like, bites down hard on your lower leg.
Fair.
And I need a DC 16 strength check from you.
Ouch.
All right. So he has got you, and he is starting to roll. But first, his multi-attack.
Nope.
He is going to do a tail attack on Claw. Does a 26 is the first roll. Even though he's still, like, chewing on your leg. Okay, so his tail attack just, like, slams into the concrete underneath of Claw with a 1. His movement, though, is he is going to grab you by the knee, Lord Turn, and roll and spin you into the water with him. That was 22 points of damage. You are now submerged.
Yep. How much damage was that?
Well, not submerged yet, because you're still thrashing on the surface.
Right. Okay.
Which brings us to Winston.
Papa needs a new handbag. Vicious mockery.
Jesus.
Oh, it's only 3 points of damage. Dang it.
doesn't matter. So as you hear your bard screaming that he wants to turn it into a handbag, the jaw suddenly starts loosening, and it starts quivering, and then it goes still and starts sinking to the bottom. My poor crocodile only had one hit point left, Chris.
Awesome.
You have to understand, Michael, that is the third time between Chris and Rob they have vicious mockeried one of my monsters down. That is one of the most annoying spells because these monsters don't have saves for that. All right.
Well so played.
You proceed out of the sewer and up.
I'm going to actually cast Cure Wounds on him on the board real quick.
Well done.
Yep. So let me go ahead and do it. Let's save your spells.
Yep. Thank you.
So I will cast it at second level and you will get. Dun, dun, dun. 8 points back. Sorry.
You can at least walk on your leg again. If you could tell me the proper medical treatment or first aid treatment for multiple puncture wounds along the knee joint, I will allow you another 8 points of healing back.
We would have to, first thing we would have to do is wash it out with a disinfectant. So we would have to use a saline type of solution to go ahead and clean it out. And then we can go ahead and put something like iodine on it. I would probably immobilize it a little bit and put a good compress around it. And ice and ibuprofen.
I will give that to you. You get an additional 8 points back.
And ice when you can.
All right. You're only four down now.
Nice little bit of scouting there.
Hey, that's 16 points. Yeah, that's awesome.
How much are you down? Yeah, let me go and hit you too. Hold on, I'm gonna give you a third level. Whoops, I did that twice. Sorry. You get 22 back.
Well, nice. That's a good one.
Now that you've taken care of the Lord, does anybody have healing for me?
So,
I hope you feel nice. Better.
You proceed out of the sewer system. As you're coming out, you're discarding all of your gear, throwing it into the deeper end of the water so that way it's not visible. As you get out, you hear a ruckus to the north. There are protectorate running down the street, heading back up to the north end of the city. You realize that you're kind of in the southern quarter of the city. So you surfaced almost near the southern gate. The flow of people have just kind of like spread out and plastered themselves to the side of the road. So nobody sees you coming out into the alleyway. And as you approach kind of the crowd to see what's going on, you like I said, you see the protectorate running. You see this column of about 10 protectorate. And then best guess, probably about 15 mages sprinting as fast as they can to the tower, which you now see flashing multiple different colors and vibrating loudly, echoing through the village. As the Guildhall mages return and everything ensue, you guys are a block and a half away from the main gate. You quietly slip out the gate as the protectorate has all run down to the tower, and you're now in open country, and we are done. Literally as the timer went off for the second hour.
That's because you didn't hit pause during the
I didn't hit pause during the crocodile fight. You're right. I missed.
We got 15 minutes. I watched the clock.
I missed that one.
once again for your Dungeon Master moment with our very own Dungeon Master, Dave.
Springtime is upon us, and well, we here at Leaders and Legacies would like to add to your spring by, you know, we're actually returning to put out more episodes. But you know, we also would like to just tell you that now is a great time to be planning your summer. Think about all the activities that you can do, the difference you can make in the world by getting out and about during the summer months, whether it be going to camp with your kids or, you know, doing a service project with your, you know, local book club. Whatever it is, we really hope you'll get out there and make a difference. We here at Leaders and Legacies wish to congratulate Seth on completing his wood badge ticket. We'll be doing a very special, special episode in which we give Seth his beads. It's called a beating, not a beating. You know, T versus D, so it's the word version with the D. We'll be giving him his, you know, beads as part of a special one-shot that we'll be putting right here on the podcast. So congratulations again to Seth. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, you can head over to our website to see more about what's coming up. We've got an episode with Kitty Height from Philadelphia, who will teach us how to play the amazing game Coyote and Crow. We also have some material that we recorded last year that takes place in advance of Season 3. There could be some other fun stuff out there, but head over to the website, find out about that. Our current hoodie promotion, where you can get yourself a Leaders and Legacies hoodie, as well as, like, you know, look for little swag bags be available for purchase as well. All our music is from soundstripe.com, as well as additional photos from shutterstock.com. Original art is by Catherine Evans for our logo, and the Gateway of the Gods was done by Light Crush, or Jenna Vincent, out of Australia. If you wish to join me in a game of Dungeons & Dragons, please check out my startplaying.games account, where you can sign up to play in any of my one-shots or campaigns coming up in 2024. Did want to give a shout-out to a few folks. Steve Geist, of course, for our continued support from Steve. I believe, actually, if you check out a recent episode, the Schutzes, both Andrea and David. Also like to give a shout out to my nephew Nick and his roommate Adam. You guys were awesome to play with, so look forward to playing with you guys in the future.
And never forget to remember...
What? Wait, you're gonna fireball?